Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. My name is Danelle McNeil. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio program of the National Association for Black Women in Construction. Today is Wednesday, November 19th, and we thank you for joining us. This morning, we have Ms. Anika King. Anika King is a licensed professional with New York Life Insurance Company. She has a mission to educate families and businesses to protect and grow their assets. She has a BS degree in secondary English education and a master's in instructional systems technology, both from Indiana University in Bloomington. Her platform and passion in life is education. She sees education as the equalizer for each of us to move forward in life. Anika is a proud mom of three children, Joseph, 17, Annika, 14, and Kennedy, 12. Most of her spare time is spent at football, track, soccer, or school events. She's very active in the empowerment of youth and continues to work as an advocate and volunteer. Anika is a proud member of Delta Sigma Theta Incorporated, a public service authority, and has worked throughout the city on several community outreach projects. Outside of being active in her community, her next steps include writing a book on financial literacy to families that have newfound wealth. There is a major gap in this country concerning wealth management, and she would like to utilize her teaching to build a bridge. Good morning, Anika. Ms. King, are you available?
Absolutely. Good morning to everyone here.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm really excited about this opportunity. I'm really grateful to yourself and Rosa Carter for having me today. I'm excited about those that are listening because there's a lot of work that needs to be done in the financial sector.
I agree. And I have to put this plug in to let everyone know that I have a special place in my heart for New York Life agents because although it was not my first investment, it was my first conscious investment. I was with New York Life, and I still have a relationship with my agent today. She reaches out to me every year, at least on my son's birthday, and I very much appreciate that. So I love New York Life and the agents. So we're going to get started. On this morning's interview. So tell us about yourself, other than what we've already learned in your bio, and what's important to you.
Okay, so when I really think about what's important to me, of course I'd have to say my faith, and that's pretty much what drives me to do everything that I do. When I think about, you know, being a mom, of course that's also very important because you learn so much from your children. You learn who you are and you learn so much about, you know, your history and where you want them to be. So outside of my faith and my family, of course then I would have to go to public service because I believe that what you do for other people is what's important and that's a legacy that you'll leave. And when you work in a position like financial services, when people get older and they get into their 80s, most of the conversations are a lot different than their 20s when they're trying to acquire wealth. They want people to remember who they are. So with me, I mean, I think I'm just pretty eclectic. I have several things that are important to me that drive me each day, but primarily at the end of the day, I would like to leave my footprint on the world that I live in.
That's excellent. Muhammad Ali has a quote. I don't know if he was the first to say it, but it has become my favorite quote, and that is that service is your rent paid for your time here on earth. So I agree with you. Service is very important. What's your professional background?
Okay, so I have a very professional background. I actually had experience in financial services, but right outside of getting my outside of college, getting my master's degree, I was actually a change management PeopleSoft consultant. So I worked in downtown Chicago as an ERP consultant, and I worked in business. So I have that background. I also have an IT and training background, as well as an education. background. My undergraduate is in English education. So when I look at education and education being the equalizer, that's a tremendous opportunity. You know, you can't tell the difference between the son of a sharecropper and the son of a U.S. senator when you talk about education, mm-hmm. because when people are educated, it just totally changes who they are. So that's pretty much my professional experience.
Excellent. And you've definitely put your money where your mouth is in obtaining your education. What services do you provide?
Okay, so currently, as a financial services professional, I start with life insurance. And life insurance is important because when you look at risk management and you look at protecting families, I protect people from having catastrophes. So, for example, there was a lady we spoke with the other day. Her husband was a vice president of a company, and they had about $250,000 of life insurance, and he died. Well, when you look at that, a person that lives in a $500,000 house, his children attend private school, $250,000 is not a lot of money. So that family was faced with having to leave their house, possibly their schools, their children having to leave schools. So what I do is I protect people from those types of things happening. So I start with risk management, which is the, you know, making sure that there's enough death benefits so that if a person dies, it's easy to plan for a death because death is final. But if there's a loss of income, so we have like disability plans, so we protect that family from financial hardship. Then the next step is we look at growing and building your wealth. And one of the aspects of growing and building your wealth that's important is that you need to minimize taxes and you need to maximize your savings. So we also help people put together plans, and we have just about anything that's offered at New York Life. The company's been around over 170 years, so we mm-hmm. offer all, you know, financial products that are pretty much out there. Then the last step is legacy planning, because after people have worked diligently throughout the years to grow their assets, you want to make sure that you appropriately allocate them upon your death. If you do not have the appropriate plan in place, you can lose 40% of your assets after you die. So we just help people with all of that. And then there's another part to this. When you look at financial planning, you look at pre and after taxes, and we look at tax diversification, making sure that you have multiple streams of income in your retirement. So there's a lot that we do, but we pace ourselves and we just, you know, take it 1 hour at a time and chunk it, and you could be amazed at how a person's portfolio can grow in a matter of a few months with, you know, appropriate planning and working with a financial professional.
Now, how do you what's the age demographic of your clients that see the need for what you provide?
Well, in terms of if you think about 20-year-olds, 20-year-olds very seldom talk about retirement, you know. They talk about what? Getting more money, having more fun, what kind of car, what kind of house eventually, maybe getting married. So usually people wake up in their late 30s and particularly 40. You see people starting to have more serious conversations about wealth. However, if people were to start planning in their 20s, time matters when you're looking at investment. That's amazing to their portfolio because they have more time to grow it. And that's kind of when we need to really start looking. Now, we do have some products now, which I'm really excited about, some cash value life insurance, where we actually bring families together and we'll sell cash value, like a 15-year pay period. And by the time that the child has graduated from high school, they have a start to their financial future because their policy's paid up, their cash value is growing. And then when you look at their death benefit and, you know, what they're going to leave, they're actually going to leave a substantial amount of money to their children. So when you talk about building generational wealth, that's important that we, you know, we start thinking about this as soon as we have our children, or probably even before mm-hmm. children, we have these different processes in place. But there's one thing that you also want to keep in mind, we're talking to African-American people, there's a lot of reasons why they're not allowed to access life insurance. So if you go ahead and you get your children insured, you establish your insurability at a young age, they won't be denied as an adult.
Wow. Won't be denied as an adult. And that's because the foundation has already been laid for them?
Absolutely. That's because the foundation has been laid. We have this thing in our community called the ABCs at African Americans in Insurance. And I'll just show the ABCs of life insurance. And this is culturally specific to African Americans. And these are some of the reasons why we have declinations and why we're not able to utilize life insurance as we try to close the wealth gap. And A is, you know, AIDS, because there's some AIDS in our community, as well as B, our bills, because some of us have a little more weight on us. So that's a reason for declinations. C is for cancer. D is for our driving record, or if you have any kind of drug convictions. E is for elevated blood pressure. F are for felonies. So you can just kind of go through the list, but these are some of the reasons why underwriting will not approve life insurance for African Americans. But if you go ahead and you insure your children at a younger age, you don't have to worry about the ABC.
Right, because they're already in.
Absolutely.
Wow, that is amazing. That is excellent information to know. How is your business model customized to African-American clients?
Well, when you look at African-American clients, and we just went over the ABCs, you have to keep that in mind. Also, when you look at our segment of the population, oftentimes there's not a trust fund. There's not been a plan in place to establish generational wealth. So when you look at the balance sheet and you look at the mentality, when you look at African-Americans, we are trillion-dollar consumers. But if you look at Maggie Anderson and her book, Our Black Year, it tells you that we don't really own very much of what we're consuming.
Right.
So when you look at the consumption of African-Americans versus the business ownership, and you look at saving versus spending, there's a lot of work that has to be done. So basically, you know, I tell the truth, of course, and I show them the statistics, and I really have to hone in on how far behind we are in economics and how we have to catch up and put the charge out there to say, what is your plan in catching up? And, you know, once you lay that foundation and really show the seriousness of leaving generational wealth, of saving your money, of being conscious consumers, a lot of people say, wow, you know, I didn't realize, you know, why I'm in the position that I'm in, but I have to have some behavior modification. So, I mean, you know, we get really specific with our African-American clients. We talk about college. We talk about how, you know, 69% of African-Americans cite student loan debt as a reason why they leave college. We talk about how a lot of African-Americans are continuing to work beyond their retirement years because they have not saved enough money.
Wow. Yeah, these are conversations that really, you're right, they really need to happen even before our children are born. We need to be comfortable with having those conversations before they're born so that when they are born, the conversations are fluid, just as fluid as do you have homework tonight?
Absolutely.
What are some opportunities that you see financially within our community that can and will help us?
Well, definitely we need to get connected. We need to pull together, really understand our businesses. When you look at the circulation of money in other cultures, when you look at the Jewish community, I mean, they know who's Jewish and who owns the businesses. They work together very well. When you look at African Americans, you've heard people say, oh, I don't want to do business with anybody black. You know, this is a mindset. And although I see that changing, it needs to change even more. And so we need to really find out who owns African American businesses, and we need to buy from one another. We need to hold each other accountable to have the standards. But there's so many qualified and competent African Americans that own businesses, and we're not supporting each other. I was just at a pharmacy the other day, Health Mart in Jacksonville, Landing Boulevard, to find out that there's an African-American pharmacy owner there. And, you know, basically, you know, our conversation, he said, you know, I specialize in diabetic shoes and compounds for diabetes. And when you look at diabetes and you look at sickle cell, those are two disease states that run rampant in our community. So
exactly.
Why in the world would we not patronize a subject matter expert within our own community? Now, what I would say to you is I really didn't even know about him. So I have his information. I've connected him with a couple of individuals, and it can't stop with just with me and those individuals. We've got to get word out about who owns what, and we've got to go there. And if we have to drive an extra 10 minutes, we have to be committed to this movement, and we've got to make sure that we get there.
And not only that, and we're going to take a commercial break right after this, but not only we have to be willing to drive the extra 10 minutes, but we have to be willing to spend the extra $10 as well. And
absolutely.
When things are not, I think that when we find that things are not right with our service or with the business, we have to be willing to have those conversations as well.
Absolutely.
You know?
I agree. So
we're going to go on ahead to commercial, and we will be right back.
You are listening to the National Association of Black Women in Construction. Our mission is to increase the national awareness of black women in the construction industry, to empower, encourage, support, and advocate for black women to further opportunities for its membership. Please visit us online at www.nadwic.org. Feel free to call in to our guest, Ms. Anita King, a financial professional at New York Life Insurance, for any questions or comments by calling 714-459-3918. Press 1 to join the conversation. Thank you, and we're back.
Good morning again. I am your host, Danelle McNeil, for this week's National Association for Black Women in Construction, NABWIC, Blog Talk Radio program, and I am speaking with Ms. Anika King, licensed financial professional with New York Life Insurance Company. Thank you again, Anika, for being with us this morning. The information that you're providing is no pun intended, priceless, but it's a lot of good information. What needs to happen to ensure economic growth and mobility? And, of course, it's not a general question, but specifically for us individuals.
Okay.
and us as a community.
Okay, so when we talk about, economic growth, and we talked about, the fact that we need to really pull together as African Americans and patronize and educate ourselves and educate our children, one of the things that we really need to look at, though, is on another level, look at supplier diversity in corporate America. So when we talk about African Americans being trillion-dollar consumers, where are we spending our money? And are those companies that where we're spending our money, are they spending money on us? And so what
mm-hmm.
we have to do is we have to look at our communities, and we have to go pull together, and we have to go back to those businesses, and we have to do kind of what we do in Black Women in Construction. We go back to, we're going to the city where we're standing together, and we're saying we expect a certain amount of money to be given back into our communities. We expect a certain segment of business, contracts, that we have an opportunity. Can't be a situation anymore where people can go in a boardroom and give all of the business to their friends, because their friends are not patronizing their business. We are.
Right.
And so, once we have those conversations, we talk about supplier diversity. We link together. We empower ourselves. We sharpen our skill set. I mean, that's going to change the game. But we've got to do that. We've got to have those conversations.
Okay, we actually have a caller in queue. The last four digits of the telephone number are 0184. Caller, you are live.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Ann McNeil, the master builder, helping you to build a better life. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
I am so excited. This has been a great show, and thank you so very much, especially to our guest and our host and our Northeast Chapter NABWIC President Rosa Carter. My question to the guest is, what is your favorite book? And I'm going to go back on mute. Thank you.
Wow.
Your favorite book, Anika.
My favorite book. That is a really tough question. I have so many favorite books. I mean, from Maya Angelou to, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and put a plug in for Maggie Anderson right now. And that's because that is the most recent book that I've been reading, and it's called Our Black Year. And it's basically Maggie Anderson is out of Chicago, and her and her husband strategized to have an entire year where they bought only black, okay, from only black businesses. And throughout this year, this book chronicles the challenges that she had, because what she realized is, one, that there's not a lot of black business ownership in our community. And then even throughout that one-year span, there were so many African-American businesses that were closed. Because if you look at our businesses, a lot of us do not have cash, and we don't have assets within our business. So if there's any kind of economic turn, you know, we have to meet payroll, then that takes away our cash reserves. So I would say right now would definitely be our black year. I think it was very courageous. I think it was something that was definitely needed. You can also see Ferguson and what's going on in Ferguson. There were a lot of people scrutinizing people for looting and burning up buildings. And one of the things that, you know, we have to keep in mind, although we don't advocate any of those things happening, those people are angry because they don't own any of those businesses. And what you see mm-hmm. is that public outrage that's going on. So I would definitely give kudos to Maggie Anderson and Our Black Year. It's something that is a must-read.
Thank you. I've heard about that book as well, so I will definitely be looking at picking that up. Going back to the previous question where you said we need to sharpen our skills, we need to empower ourselves with the supplier diversity, with the companies that we are spending our dollars with.
Mm-hmm.
The one question that I had for you at the end of your statement is this. So does that mean that we can ask, that we can sort of demand that those who we spend our dollars with, that we can ask them, who are you spending your dollars with? Because recently there was an event where some friends were looking to support, and it did go forward, support a young lady in her fitness endeavors. And my question to myself actually was, well, after we spend our dollars with her in this event, where does she spend her dollars? Because it has to be a cycle based on what I understand. I mean, I could be wrong.
Okay. You know,
so
I go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
So
that's the question. Can we ask, you know, where do you spend your dollars? After I spend my dollar with you, is my dollar going to leave my community eventually?
Okay. So when you look at that whole issue, you know, we are $1 trillion consumers, right? So when we probe the issue of where we spend our money, our money overwhelmingly flows out of our community. I think that we have to ask that question. And I don't think anybody's going to be surprised when we ask that question. It's almost
okay.
Like they're waiting on us to ask that question. Oh, you finally woke up. You know, you
wow.
finally came to the table. And you understand your importance and your buying power. One of my colleagues, there's something called Key Man Insurance. And all he had was a car with $250,000 miles on it, and he said he'd use student loan money to buy a condo in Miami. And he said, but when he went to work at his company, they put a $2.5 million insurance policy on him. And he said, why would you do that? Because, you know, he didn't think he was really worth $2.5 million. This world over the next 20 years, you make $100,000 a year, right? Yes. Well, if you're with us 20 years, then you know, if we lose you, we lose a great asset. You know, and so I'm saying all this to say that we have to go back. It is our social responsibility to go back to these businesses and to start talking to them and expecting them to do business with them. And if they don't, letting them feel the consequences. And we all know that money talks.
Right. And I just
and
want to reiterate to the audience that you did say trillion. $1 trillion.
Oh, absolutely. Trillion-dollar consumers, absolutely.
Okay, because I'm still looking up how many zeros that is. Okay. So are there any construction projects going on in Jacksonville that spark your professional intellect?
Absolutely. We have been in conversations with the $100 million Mobility Works project at JTA, Jacksonville Transportation Authority. And one of the civil engineer that is the actual vice president, his name is Bill Nance. He's an African-American male. So what's exciting is that you have so much leadership in Jacksonville. He is a graduate of the Citadel, which is an amazing learning institution, as well as the CEO there, Nathaniel Ford. He has an extensive background. He's worked in Atlanta, New York, California, and he is really putting Jacksonville on the map from a transportation perspective. But he is also willing to do business with African-American, with African-Americans. So he himself is African-American. He demands excellence and professionalism. I have been, just reading about this individual. I've also been privy to be at different events and meet some of the employees there. A lot of them are African-American, and they have excellent resumes. They demand excellence. So the fact that there's $100 million out there, I'm really excited about that, and I'm really going to be advocating for, African-Americans to get in the bidding, to continue to stay in their faces. And I think we can have some really amazing results, as based on what's in front of us.
Excellent, excellent. We do have a question from our chapter president, Rosa Carter. Rosa, are you available? Are you live? Okay, not right now. Okay,
I'm sorry. I was on mute for a moment. I do have a question going back to the host question as far as, in the Maggie Anderson philosophy of buying black, to you, Ms. Anita King, with us being such a consumer in the African-American as far as spending, would you say that it is important to bring awareness to our community on the power of using our dollars right where we are, no matter what income level we're at? Because I want to state that I've been with some of the Koreans, and they actually have a 5-year business plan, and they actually make sure that their dollars stay within their community at least pass through 9 times before it goes outside of their community. Mm. So to go back to the question of Ms. McNeil, then yes, once we do need to ask the question on where the dollars go, and also to our vendors and suppliers, grocery stores, gas stations. If we're doing business with is not concerned about what's happening with our businesses and communities, then maybe we need to look at where we are spending our dollars as far as their establishment, because we are helping support them financially and their bottom line and their stocks when they are not concerned about what's happening to our community, our families, and our businesses. So we do have power and authority that sometimes as a race we do not utilize. One of my questions is, how being a member and being involved with the National Association of Black Women in Construction been a benefit to you, Ms. King?
Okay. So the first part is, I just wanted to kind of go back to the situation with the young man that owned the pharmacy on Blandy Boulevard. It was a really heartfelt moment for me because, it's very risky to start a business. So you have this business owner in front of you, and it was a heartfelt moment because here it is, you have someone who understands diabetes, who is committed to a disease state that is prominent in our race, in our culture. And then you have African-Americans that will not patronize his business. Now, I'm not sure if it's because they don't know about it or I'm not sure if there's some misperceptions out there, but I'm going to go with the first and say most people don't know about this person. In order for him to stay in business, he has to have customers. And so we have to educate one another, and we have to communicate. So I think that it's almost like we're just disconnected, and mm-hmm. communication has to be there. And so we've got to communicate, we've got to educate about what those black businesses are, and then we have to have a commitment. I mean, you have to mean this thing, you know, and those of us that have went in business for ourselves, we know that it's a dogfight usually in the beginning, especially if you don't have a huge cash reserve that you're pulling from. So that's the first part. And then in terms of your question about black women in construction, black women in construction has been amazing for me. Even though I am, I will say that I'm in professional services, I'm in construction as well because there's so many facets to construction. I mean, you have to have money. And the people that are in the projects, I mean, they need to build retirements. They need pension plans. They need savings. So, you know, we're all in this together. But the women and black women in construction are so focused. They're in the community. They are understanding what's going on with contracts. And I have learned just so much. And I know there's more to come. But this has been one of the best experiences that I've had professionally in a long time. So I want to thank you, Ms. Carter and Ms. McNeil, for leading and making this opportunity possible. I'll just say this. Yesterday I was at an event it was ABC Construction, and there was a women's event, and there were some huge companies in there, and they were talking about how they're building the new park in Jacksonville, which is a multi-million dollar construction project. And I was able to be there as a member of NABWIC, and there were people that took my business card, and I can now have a seat at the table the next time they're talking about contracts, and I can then go to them and say, okay, now I'd like to see, you know, how you're going to work with black women in construction and how we can get a slice of that pie as well. So this has been an amazing opportunity, and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Glory be to God. We do have a caller. 7528 are the last four digits, and then after that we'll have 10 minutes to wrap up this very engaging interview. 7528, your line is open.
Good morning. This is Deborah Thompson.
Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning.
How are you? Thank you for calling. Hello, Deborah.
Thank you. Yes, I just want to say thank you so much, Anika, for coming on our show this morning. I'm Deborah Thompson, the national president for the National Association of Black Women in Construction. We are the voice of black women in construction. I want to applaud you for Margaret Anderson. I had the opportunity to meet her last year in February for Black History Month here in Jacksonville, Florida. And I read her book, and I've been following her for the last year. I've been as active as I should be, but I, too, try to buy black as much as I can. What we have to realize is that a lot of the things that we need in today's life, a lot of us are not producers, manufacturers, distributors, or salesmen for those products. So we need to take the time to seek out in our cities where these people are who can provide us some of the products and services and commodities that we need in our daily lives so that their businesses can thrive in our community. The other thing that I'd like to say is that for our businesses, we need to also make sure that we're going into businesses that are relevant for today's society, because sometimes we get stuck in doing some of the same old things just because we feel comfortable there and we know that. So, again, Anika, thank you so very much, and I would like to say to you, give us some understanding on the financial management side and building of assets in our companies as to what kinds of products and services that you have in New York Life that can help our small businesses, our women-owned businesses, and especially our minority businesses to understand how to build wealth in their companies and not spend all of that money, and we will have and develop cash flows.
Okay.
Thank you, Deborah. Anika, before you answer Deborah's question, will you please give out your contact information, and then I'm going to ask you to do it again at the very end of the show. We only have about 5 minutes left. We have two questions left, but please provide your information so that people can contact you after this.
Absolutely. Okay, I'll give you my cell number. My cell number is 904-382-1425. I also have a office line. That number is 904-997-3074. My email address is going to be aking03@ft.newyorklife.com.
Okay. And that cell number again is 904-382-1425, 904-382-1425. That's her cell number. Her office is 904-997-3074. 904-997-3074. And your email again, please.
It's aking, A-K-I-N-G-03. Yes.
Oh, aking, A letter A, K-I-N-G.
03@ft, that's franktom.newyorklife.com.
Okay. Okay. And Maggie Anderson, coming back to Jacksonville. Are you involved with that? How are you involved with that, if at all?
Actually, I have a study group of five financial professionals that we meet weekly. And Maggie Anderson was actually, we had a town hall in Atlanta over the summer. So we've been working, trying to get her to come to Jacksonville. And we received information a few weeks ago that we could get her to come into Jacksonville. We're actually going to be partnering with NABLIC. NABLIC is one of the sponsors that's bringing her to Jacksonville. So she'll be here December the 9th at Florida State College of Jacksonville downtown, and she's going to be in the large auditorium from 6:30 to 9 p.m. There's also going to be a VIP reception on that Monday for lunch. So if someone were interested in meeting Maggie, I've given you my information. Because I'm head of that study group, I should be able to, you know, make some special concessions for those of you that are interested and that were, you know, listening today, to be able to have some conversation with Maggie. But once again, that's going to be Tuesday evening, the town hall on December the 9th. And we're going to have different church members, different business owners at that event. And we're going to talk about some of the issues that we talked about today, stimulating the supply of diversity, conversations that we need to have. And also she's going to spend a moment educating us just kind of what Deborah was talking about earlier, being conscious consumers and understanding what businesses are out there that we do own and that we can patronize. So it's going to be a night of economic empowerment.
That's excellent, and I think that is one question to that's one answer to Deborah's question. So if you are listening, or if you're not, you're downloading, you want to tell someone about it, that's Tuesday, December 9th, 6:30 to 9 p.m., and that location again?
It's Florida State College of Jacksonville.
The downtown College of Jacksonville. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And finally, with the last about 5 minutes that we have on the show, what advice would you like to leave to our listeners?
You know, one of the things that Deborah just brought up was, you know, what kind of advice would you give to small businesses? When you look at what's happened in the insurance industry, there used to be a situation, if you had a room of 100 people, 90 people would raise their hand if you asked them if they had a pension. Now that number has changed drastically. If you were to ask people out of 100 people, probably 7 people would raise their hand and say they have a pension.
Right.
Because now that has changed from pension plans to defined contribution plans, i.e., there's an expectation that you contribute to your retirement. And when you look at retirement and you look at the conversation we had earlier when I said that a lot of African Americans have to delay retirement, there's only so many jobs that you're going to have at Walmart or the grocery store when we get retired. When you're not in your income-producing years, you're not really an attractive employee. People don't go out hiring 75-year-olds. They're looking for them, right, typically.
Right.
So when you think about this whole retirement piece, we have to have people setting aside money. Because if you look at Social Security, there's predictions that in year 2030 that you're only going to get 70% of your Social Security. So will Social Security and whatever you have in your 401k, will that be enough? Well, people are living longer, okay? And if you're a woman, you have another set of issues because you have long-term care. 70% of women have some sort of long-term care need. So women live longer, and then they require more services medically. What that means, folks, is that you can run out of money. And what we do in financial planning is we make sure, or financial services, we make sure that you don't run out of money. So if you look at it from the perspective of planning for retirement, having sitting down with a professional, having those calculations ran so that you understand what's going on, then we also have another product that I love called a guaranteed future income annuity. You start with $5,000, and then you can dump money in whenever you'd like. And then it gives you a continual stream of income until you die. So annuities are a great way to replace pension planning and funding. We also have simple IRAs. We have a magnitude of products that will meet your needs. But the issue is making sure that you find your way into the office of a financial professional that you trust and starting the planning process. So this, we're not in a situation where companies or the government is going to bail us anymore. We have to bail ourselves, or else you could run the risk of running out of money and depleting your assets if you have a long-term care event or something like that happening.
Okay. All right. Well, again, I am Danelle McNeil. This is the National Association for Black Women in Construction weekly Wednesday morning radio blog talk program. I am speaking with Ms. Anika King. She's a faith mom, professional public service. She is in the financial services industry at New York Life Insurance, offering financial planning, succession planning, all types of insurances. And she's reading Maggie Anderson, Our Black Year. She will be at the town hall meeting Tuesday, December 9th at Florida State College, 6:30 to 9 p.m. You can reach her on her cell at 904-382-1425, in her office at 904-997-3074. And we will take our last commercial break. We thank you, Ms. King. And do you have any final words?
Well, I just wanted to just leave you with this. I was at a meeting the other day, and someone brought up Helen Keller. And Helen Keller, as you know, was blind, but she's known and she's studied to this day for many of her accomplishments to society. But they said, what would be worse than being blind? And she said, to have sight but no vision. So I just wanted to leave that with you all today, and let's just make sure that we're continuing to dream and we're continuing to put actions behind our dreams, because we can make a difference. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you for being here with us. We'll take our final commercial, and that'll call it for the show. Thank you for joining us.
You are listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction. The intent of NABWIC is to always go back into the junior and senior high schools and colleges to encourage young black girls and young black women to enter the construction industry. Please listen to this show and past shows by visiting www.com/NABWIC. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. That concludes our show, and thank you for listening to NABWIC. And remember, we are the voice of black women in construction. Have an awesome and blessed day.